It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome back to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast for the final stage of the Tour de France Famavic Swift, the final Tour de France stage of the month, 30 straight days of, well, we did take a couple of rest days in there, 30 straight days of podcasting, videos. Ooh. What a big month of July. Benji even had some big news yesterday. He still came on the podcast. It's been a huge month. Thanks for all your support, and I can't wait to talk about this fascinating TT in Po. How do you feel, Benji? After such a month, I think it's been our best one yet.
I think so as well. And like, usually I would expect to be like in a complete burnout phase. Yes, I can use a few rest days in the next week, I won't lie. That's why we're not doing individual episodes of every single stage of Bologna this week.
But bro, we never did that. Did we?
I think we did it the first year, if I recall correctly.
We were desperate for viewers. Anyone want to listen to this shit?
But anyway, I've had a few changes in my life. I got married, and
congratulations.
Thank you very much. And now the Tour de France Femme has finished, and it was, let's be honest about it, when it comes to the stage win, we disagreed yesterday, but I think deep in your heart, you were not expecting the rider that you selected to be the all-out favorite if it came down to an individual time trial in a single event.
Oh yeah, if I was a bookie, I would have put Royce the favorite. I was just trying to be contrarian, yeah.
But we came to this time trial with not necessarily the fight for the GC either, but the podium was wide open. And if we take a look closer at what the time trial looked like, it's not a completely flat time trial, right? I'll let you go through it.
Yeah, it's quite difficult. You know, like this 1.4K, 7.5% climb, you know, that's a decent proportion of this TT up to the first only intermediate time check from Po to Po. They do a loop basically south of the city. And I thought this was quite difficult. It's also a little bit false flat, 1% up to that climb in the middle. And then the second half is much quicker, nearer to 50 Ks an hour. For the top riders, a false flat downhill before a final ramp of 600 meters, 5% into Po, which, you know, again, is quite difficult. And if you've got tired legs, you can actually lose a lot of time there. And we knew Vollering wasn't losing her GC. The question was 2-3-4. We had Kopecky 7 seconds behind Van Vleuten in fourth, Van Vleuten in third. And then to Nivea Doma, where there was a solid enough gap of like 35, 40 seconds between her and Kopecky. And so the question was whether Nivea Doma could completely fall off the podium. It might have even been more than that. It might have been like 45 seconds plus between her and Kopecky and 30 to Van Vleuten. Because if AVV does her best TT and Nivea Doma struggles, she could move second to fourth. We, as expected, were not. I did actually think Vollering had a decent chance to win, but the second part of this TT was too fast. Marlon Reusser wins the TT with a time of 29:15, averaging 46 kilometers an hour, 10 seconds ahead of her teammate Vollering. Reusser, you watch, she was bricking it actually in the last minute in the hot seat. She was like, holy shit, Demi about to beat me. Because yeah, Vollering close behind, and actually quicker in the second section, which surprised me. Kopecky third, another great TT, another stage podium for her, 29:53. And that means with a gap of, I can't do maths, 22 plus 23 is 40. With a gap of 45 seconds on Nivea Doma, she goes into second on GC by like 0.2 seconds. Van Vleuten has a bad TT, 1:41 behind Reusser, 1:31 behind Vollering, and even 18 seconds behind Nivea Doma. So Nivea Doma, whilst losing second, it could have been worse. She finishes third on GC, but I think it all played out pretty well, Benji, except Nivea Doma in the first section was better than I expected.
Yeah, I didn't expect Nivea Doma to hold up that well. We heard an interview with Magnus Buxtehude, did yes at the team that she had been on her TT bike more than ever this year. So that obviously helps with getting better at time trials, being actually active on the TT bike, being in that position, training that position, and being more comfortable in it. And next to that, being able to tweak it as a consequence of being more on the TT bike in the first place. And that when her time came true, I was like, ooh, if she can keep this up, she 100% keeps Kopecky behind her. 100% if she kept that up from the middle of the TT towards the end of the TT. But towards the second part of the TT, Nivea Doma started giving a bit more seconds back. So I think she went very hard at the start, hoping that she could keep it up. But towards the end, maybe that cost her a little, but still an amazing TT that she puts. True, but the fact that it's 0.21 seconds short of being second in GC is a bit of a bummer. I will say, however, I don't really care if you're second or third, no, because the majority of people say podium. Like, sometimes runner-up is said, but the majority of the time we're speaking about a podium anyway, so it's not that big of a deal. This is the second year in a row.
Last year in the tour. Same level. Well, no. But it is, you're right. In history, in 10 years, podcasters will say, you know, that. But you're right. It's, I don't
us
think.
Us in 10 years.
Yeah, us in 10 years. I think she was more worried that if she's lost 45 seconds to Kopecky and Kopecky's beaten her, then where's Van Vleuten? Because what if Van Vleuten's taken her off the podium completely? And as you said, Nivea Doma got blown away in the over 45k an hour section. She was 26th in T1 to the finish, the faster section. She was 6th on the slower section. So I think she whacked that middle climb.
Yeah.
But yeah, her physiology is working against her compared to riders like Kopecky and Reusser and even Vollering. I think Nivea Doma really is a lot lighter than those riders. So interesting to me, though, I think Vollering could have won this TT. She did T1 to the finish.
Yeah.
Quicker than Reusser. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, she should always be doing T1 quicker. The 42-43 kph one. She lost 13 seconds there. So, but I was really surprised, but she must have had conservative pacing.
I'm going to expect that, but also next to the conservative pacing, maybe on paper, the pacing plan being like that, you also got the factor that she's so far ahead in GC, she doesn't necessarily need to take risks.
No.
And maybe at the halfway point of the race, she realized, okay, I can actually still compete for the stage win. But I'm not sure if the Diaz in the car would have said, oh, you're actually close to the stage win, let's try and beat your teammate. I'm not sure it goes like that either. So can't tell you if that was a major influence there, but the fact that she's TTing at this level, do you reckon she would be further away from Reusser if this was not an 8-day stage race? You reckon the fatigue makes it so Vollering can be closer to Reusser?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It makes a difference. And you look at Van Vleuten, like really suffering on the Tourmalet, huge blow yesterday, psychologically too, like a big blow yesterday. And then she has a bad TT today by her standards, you know, 14th behind Nivea Doma, behind Labou, she's better than that, maybe in a fresh World Championships TT. She's not better than Reusser, but so I think it all makes a big difference, the fatigue. Mulman really struggled in the TT. She finished 45th, losing 2:52. And she's also a really, really light rider like Ballenfeind. So she lost her fifth place to Labou in GC. And so Labou did an absolutely cracking TT. For someone, you know, a climber like her, and yeah, she to finish sixth, Labou is really, really impressive. Ahead of like a Lucinda Brand or Cordon Rigaud or AVV. So Grace Brown's the strange one to me, Benji, because she's kind of been anonymous in the race, and then she's just whacked out the best of the rest with SD, because SD Works lock out the stage podium 1-2-3. She's fourth, 2 seconds behind Kopecky, and you're like, whoa. She did try a couple of times to get in the break, but if she got in a break with these legs, she would have been lethal.
Yeah, certainly. And I'm kind of wondering now towards the World Champs ITT whether she can repeat another podium at the World Championships, because this form suggests she can compete for the podium at the World Championships ITT again. So I admire that aspect. You as an Australian will be like, oh, yes, we've got a competitor here. But when it comes to just future races, I kind of hope that we stick with the time trials and World Tour races a bit more. We saw one at Swiss as well. We saw one here. I like that there's more time trials in World Tour, that these riders can deliver on. And I also feel like when it comes to this race, we didn't really see it necessarily when it comes to the top level of GC. But when it comes to the riders we already mentioned, Nivea Doma, for example, Kopecky early week and so forth, and Labouf, for example, in this time trial, I feel like the balance with time trial kilometers versus the differences that Trumale made for the second, third, and fourth spot was perfection for a perfect battle on the time trial. Because it was so close today between those riders. The only difference is that we've got an Apex Predator at the top. That's Demi Vollering. And, well, she had a pretty big lead on other people in general. But if you take a look at other people in this time trial, I kind of feel like it's hard to talk about, for example, Mormont. Mormont said that yesterday she didn't have an amazing time because she had back pain or something on the Tourmalet. But when it comes to today's time trial, she also straight up falls out of the top five of GC, if I recall correctly, right?
Yeah.
Because Labou is now on the top five and fifth spot. So would you have expected more from Mom on this race, or do you reckon that the back pain indeed hindered her from delivering on Tourmalet?
I mean, if she had back pain, I would have queried why she was trying to go for every intermediate sprint against Kopecky in a competition she wasn't going to win. I think there is cash for second, and mm-hmm. she did come second in that competition, so maybe that was the rationale, but she had a lot of win this race.
If anything happens to Kopecky, we don't want it, but if anything happens,
yeah, true.
Whether it's a crash or something, then Mormont has green. So that's one factor that exists, but I don't think that's a thing that kept motivating Mormont to sprint for it either, to be honest. The youngsters, when it comes to GC, I do want to mention Ricarda Baron fight now in 9th in GC. So her TT today, actually, don't know. Let's take a look what her TT looked like. Was it a decent TT?
It's not that good. So she just kept 9th, but that was because Spratt was behind her, and Spratt didn't gain enough on her. Marcus couldn't. She didn't maybe do her best TT. She didn't gain enough. And Sant Esteban, ahead of her, actually lost a spot to Ludwig. So she did she struggled in the TT. So yeah, Canyon Shram finished now with, Vollering winning the race overall. Kopecky second. Nivea Doma third, and Canyon Shram keep two in the top 10 with a podium, with one stage win from Bauernfeind. A very, very successful race. And the Maillot-Poix, Queen of the Mountains, by 4 points, Nivea Doma two, thanks to her raid yesterday. So a successful race for them, even though maybe, losing second by a second is, not the worst thing in the world, but Nivea Doma nearly keeping second too. It's a SD work. I mean, what is there to say, Benji? They've won four stages with four different riders.
Yeah.
Bibas, Kopecky, Vollering, today Roycer. They win points. They win teams by 12 minutes. They won 2 GC.
And? They probably could have won more. Let's be honest about it. So if we take a look at that team, they're by far the best team in Women's World Tour. And it's such a significant difference. And yes, there were tactical issues on at least two stages where they could have gotten more out of it. In hindsight, they didn't need to get more out of it when it comes to Vollering. They skipped 20 to 25 bonus seconds in the first three stages that Vollering could have taken that would have brought her ahead of Van Vleuten already. But in the end, it doesn't matter if Vollering is just straight up better than the rest of the world. Now, does that take away that they made tactical mistakes in stages? No, they could have won more stages, but does that mean they had an awful Tour de France film? Obviously not, because they fucking destroyed everyone. So if I'm them, I'm happy after this race. I would obviously hope that they can work on like the way the team looks towards the public internally, because their media appearances didn't necessarily create the best reactions, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, if you basically podium every stage, win four stages, win teams, win GC 1-2. It does probably, if you're another team, you wouldn't have liked to hear things like, the whole world is against us. Everyone's out to get us. It's like, well, yeah, because you are by far the best. Like, and everyone did stop working with them. Everyone did after that stage. And then they had the Bauerfeind stage win. We had the Castellane stage win. We had the Norsgaard stage win. So that's adaptation. you know, if you can't beat them, you have to find out a way to work against them and not help them. And it was good to see more of that this race. But yeah, it's like, I mean, I don't know. I think it's, apart from the stamp, I don't blame the riders for the stamp thing. That was sort of unnecessary, yeah.
I think I don't blame the riders for a lot of things. For the tactical mistakes, I also don't necessarily blame riders. Like, I feel like even the stage that we were saying, what are you trying with these complex tactics of Kopecky trying to be a satellite rider up the road, attacking the group, and then Vollering trying to bridge up, something that wouldn't realistically help because the other GC riders would outpace Kopecky at that point anyway. Well, that entire strategy, the riders tried to play it out the way it was set. They just couldn't do it because it was an unrealistic strategy from the team car. So I would not even blame the riders in those situations. And I think that at SD Works, I often feel bad for the riders because I feel like the team car sometimes makes the riders look bad in situations. And I'm happy that Vollering was finally able to step up to the level that we were kind of anticipating her to be 3 years ago when she was fighting top threes in the likes of Flèche Wallonne, for example. We were saying maybe this could be the new Anna van der Breggen. And this is the year where she took that spot straight up, and that she is the new top rider in Women's World Tour. And I love seeing that because it also means that there's a completion in that phase. And now we're going on to the next step, which is what next? What next? Who's next to fight with them? But before I get to that, the nice thing about Vollering as well to me is that we often talk about GC leaders and in men's cycling, for example, when a Wout van Aert gives away again to Evelyn to Laporte, for example, or was it Itria? I don't even remember which classic it was, but yeah, okay. But all these Flemish classics, am I right? But the thing is, like, they're giving that away in the hope that in the races that they're actually going for it, that they get something back. And with Reusser and Vollering, that really worked out, I feel like. I feel like that's a perfect teamwork duo in so many races so far. And if we take a look at the last 2 weeks, for example, if I recall Tour de Suisse, Vollering was working for Reusser. If I recall Itzulia, where they won to it as well with Vollering.
Yeah, well, Vollering led Reusser win at Zulia.
Yeah, tactically, that was the best situation. And yeah, Vollering allowed Reusser to take that victory. Could have easily have said, I'm going to ride behind her right now because I won this myself. But she gives those victories away in the hope that Reusser is there in the Tour de France Femme. And Reusser was here in the Tour de France Femme. Like outside of the time trial, MVP. What about Kopecky? I don't want to talk about it. What?
Well, Kopecky.
Well, she took away Strade, eh?
The Kopecky's kind of the flip side of that, where I don't know.
About Kopecky, though.
It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, we've talked so much about tactics and this and tactics, that and bonus seconds, this and bonus seconds, that. Yesterday, Vollering, in 6 kilometers, put 2.5 minutes into Van Vleuten, yeah, without anyone pacing. And we looked at the watts then afterwards. The watts are really, like, scary big. Like, yeah, the watts difference. AVV was doing 4.9 for 20 minutes.
But
Vollering's doing 5.6 for 20 minutes. Like, it's a huge difference.
And I'm fairly certain Van Vleuten's stats of yesterday also are not the stats she had last year, the data she had on the climbs last year.
Oh.
She's gotten worse, and Vollering's gotten significantly better. So I think we've got a cross in the data, as in one rider regressed a bit and Vollering went up significantly in her level, and it's kind of what we were hoping in a few years, 2 years ago.
I don't think AVV last year she did 5.25 for 30,
that's better than what she did yesterday.
And Platzer-Vassel 5.27 for 25, and then yesterday, you know, on Petit Ballon, she launched it. And then on Tourmalet, she did 4.85 to high altitude. So not that much worse, to be honest.
I think that's a difference, though. She said after this race, okay, about this race, there's something missing. I feel like I have something. So I don't know if she feels like she's sick or anything, but it doesn't matter. Even last year's form, Van Vleuten would not have beaten Vollering yesterday.
No. Vollering yesterday is the best we've ever seen. Like,
yeah,
it was unbelievable. And the way she could have gone so much faster. That's the scary thing. Like, as I said, averaged 5.1 for 53 minutes, but the last 6Ks, she's attacking at 5.6. And that's on the higher altitude section.
Yeah.
That's up to 2,100 meters. So she could have done the whole climb at 5.4. Like,
certainly.
Really big what? Like, Vollering, seriously, like, we were discussing it last night. Vollering could probably get around some of the Middle Eastern men's races. Like, even finishing, I don't know, top 20, top 25 in some of the Unipuertos. Like, because no one's pacing for her on Tourmalet. Like, yeah, they're just going walking pace for her. She's doing the first part of Tourmalet way below threshold. Like, she can even go faster, which is scary. So, anyway.
Talking about scary.
It's great that we have a new champion.
Does Demi Vollering have to be scared about someone else? Because if we take a look at the competition of SD Works, it's so dominant that I don't see someone imminently closing that down in the next couple of years. Because if we take a look at Can-Am Tram is one of those teams that has a lot of talent. Nivea Dom already podiuming. So they can step up and have like three riders competing. Like if Bauernfeind grows, if Niedermeyer grows. But that's not going to be for the next year. That's not going to be for the next 2 years. And will they reach a level of Vollering that's like... Vollering is that arguably generational talent?
Yeah, Vollering's like crazy good. But the only one I can think of is Daggett. But I don't see her getting it together. Like, she's finally back to Europe, which is great.
Yeah.
She rode one race Omloop last year. She didn't race in 21 in Europe. And in 2020, she had the big crash. So it's been, you know, four seasons later just about. And she was really good. But Daggett's the only one where I'm thinking of, like, these crazy athletes who are just, as you said, a generational talent. She's only 26. If she can get it together, you know, if she really focused on climbing, which I don't think she will, because I presume she's going for the Olympics next year on the track. So is Daggett going to try and, you know, get into climbing mode? I doubt it, but she's the only one I could think of. And yeah, Canyon Shram 2024 with Daggett, Bauernfeind, Niedermeyer, Nivea Doma, Skowniak, Xavi. That's a good fucking team.
What do you think about Realini then? Because she's the pure climber, but on the flat, she's got issues. She's spending too much before climbs.
How much was she losing this TT today? 3 minutes, probably.
Probably. I would expect so. And even outside of this TT, I don't know which race it was, might have been La Vuelta and so forth, but even in descents, we saw riders ride away from her because she simply can't ride the watts necessary with her size to be able to follow what the others can produce when it comes to watts. So it's not even about technique in those descents. It's pure power, pure absolute watts that she can't produce. And then I'm like, we need to see something major change in that, which you can do a lot when it comes to cycling, but you can't change your inherent physiology that much either, right?
No. I would have loved to have seen her on Tourmalet yesterday. I think, you know, it was perfect for her. I mean, there's nice riders like Labou who are consistently improving, but...
Podium is max for her.
Yeah, Vollering's just so good. And also, like, Vollering's not even that small, right? So like she's an all-round package. She won all the Ardennes races. She's got the punch, she got the sprint, she got the TT, she can ride the flat, she can ride the crosswinds, and she's the best climber.
I feel like riders in a yellow jersey look smaller. Random comment. I feel like that's the case. In time trials, yellow skin suit, riders look smaller.
Really? Yeah. So when it's rog thick.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But yeah, there's no obvious, and I think Vollering can still get better. But yeah, maybe someone from Canyon, because they are...
Vollering can get better. That's scary.
Yeah, she definitely can get better. But maybe if someone from Canyon. But yeah, how would you rate this Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift, Benji, the second edition? It was an SD Works domination in the end, but what's your feeling about the race, the parkour, the action?
I think the parkour I really enjoyed, as in the stages really offered opportunities for riders to take early action and initiatives when it comes to GC, try and open it up early and maybe take time on competitors. But I also feel like the teams didn't necessarily use that. And with SD Works, they ended up not having to use it in hindsight. But there were so many opportunities. Let's say Vollering isn't a better climber than Van Vleuten, and then there were opportunities for a Reusser to take time on the other competition and put a bit of a GC pressure on the other teams to see, okay, are we scared of Reusser in GC? Something like that. Stage one, I don't know. The issue I have with stage one, I love that Kopecky won, my Belgian heart exploding, but it was also kind of snap, it's done. Because boom, Kopecky attacks, and it was obvious group two syndrome was created and the race was won. So I like stages where the tension is there, and those breakaway stages where it really, really, really isn't until the line, then that I love. Like those stages I really enjoyed, and I enjoyed the tactical plays in races, but I like the stage where it's averagely tactical, where it's not too much either, so that people can follow. Make sense?
Yeah, I thought Tourmalet was good like that. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, Nuvi Dome is going up the road. Are they giving her too much margin? What are SD Works going to do? AVV and Vollering are looking at each other. But yeah,
I don't like the drama. I don't know why.
Really? That's the best part of sport.
It was fun for one day, but the second day becomes tiresome.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's like eventually, like, can we just get it together? Can someone just say, let's all get it together? But I like the drama on the road with AVV and Vollering not looking at each other, refusing to pull. I thought that was really good. I thought there was definitely one too many hill stage that didn't have a punchy finish. I did feel like we watched three of the same stages in the row this week, which was great for the breakaway wins, but if one of them was a little 2K 10% uphill finish, I wouldn't have been complaining because Cashier might have won. And it just would have been different. Maybe Mulman or Ludwig win or something. I think, like, what stage this week, apart from really Tourmalet, because, like, Cashier can't win stage one, nor Mulman, because it's too far from the finish.
Yeah.
I feel like there wasn't really a puncher finish stage, and I would have changed out one of those misc stages for it.
Two more comments. I think this stage, the Tourmalet, magical stage.
Yeah, great stage.
Mountain stage. I love that stuff. But I also like there being two mountain stages in an 8-day stage race. But the problem is if you make it two, then the second one might be boring GC-wise. So that's the counterpart of that. On one end, I like it being backloaded to make sure that the GC is decided late. But on the other end, I also feel like I wanted to see two mountain stage to see maybe two different situations play out. You never know if one rider has a bad day on one and a better day on the other, stuff like that. But then a bit of criticism to whoever is responsible for this in the race. But I feel like a lot of moments in this race, I was annoyed by the amount of motorbikes that were in the middle of groups and the amount of cars that were passing groups on roads that they should not be passing groups at, that riders almost crashed. And that annoys me because, like, safety has to be important. And I know you noticed as well, like, there were moments, right, where it was like, there are too many motorbikes on the screen.
Yeah, or cars being told to move up at strange moments by the commissaires, and then they're stuck in, like, the Canyon Stram one the other day, just like, stuck in the middle of the peloton before, like, a QOM sprint. You're like, why did they get told to move up just before a narrow QOM sprint? So, yeah, I think there were a few of those. And also the moto drafting, moto pacing for the breakaway riders was listen, I don't mind it. Like, but if you're one of the teams chasing, it was ridiculous at times. The draft.
It's demotivating.
Benefit. Yeah.
Not just is it a negative advantage? Well, that's not. Is that a thing? A negative advantage? A disadvantage.
Yes.
That's the word I was looking for. Not only is it a disadvantage for the second group that the first group has a motorbike ahead of them, but if they know it has a motorbike ahead of them, if they can see it, it's so demotivating to see a group right away with a motorbike ahead of them, eh?
Yeah. But I would say I'm very happy with the event overall. You know, the viewership on my highlight videos is far up on last year, which is really, really good, even though there wasn't that was just solid views. People were interested in it. I'll be interested to see how France TV's ratings are domestically. But I think I look at the social media accounts because the Tour de France Femme has its own individual social media accounts. I was a bit dubious about doing that actually initially. I probably wouldn't have done that. But on like Instagram, for example, I can see like the engagement is really, really strong. And that's not just that's not piggybacking off the men's account, I don't believe. Yeah. So social media has been really, really good. And it's good to have a different winner too. Should we say something about AVV, Benji?
I feel like we should.
Yeah, she seemed really disappointed. Like, she was crying after the finish. To lose the podium like that, I think must be really tough. And she's obviously retiring this year. It's her last Tour de France. She won last year. World Championships coming up this weekend or next weekend. Yeah, I mean, it feels like she really got beaten here. Like, both physically and also almost mentally yesterday.
I think so as well. Like, we know there's a rivalry between Vollering and Van Vleuten, but regardless of that for a second, Van Vleuten is a hell of a cyclist. The last 2 years, winning Giro Donna, I think four times in total, twice world champion, La Vuelta three times. She ended up winning Tour of Flanders twice as well, twice Strade, twice LBL, twice La Course. Loads of races that she ended up winning. I think 16 stage in the Giro Donna and Tour de France Femme last year. I feel like this year she hasn't been on the level of the years before, based on the races we saw. Giro Donna was nice to see her beating the shit out of everybody again, though. That was kind of fun to see that once again. But in this Tour de France Femme, I feel like we didn't really get to see the Annemiek van Vleuten of the past. But that's also kind of logical, eh? There comes a point in a career where you're kind of like, she's still a fucking great cyclist, but the others have gotten better, and she has gotten a tiny bit worse. And it is brutal, though, to see her off the podium. I kind of feel bad.
Yeah. Like,
I love that Capecchi's on the podium as a Belgian. I love that Capecchi is on the podium as a cycling fan, regardless of being Belgian. Nivea Doma, same story. She deserves it after what she did yesterday, but it is ruthless to see Van Vleuten get off the podium on this stage. But she just wasn't good enough, and that's a momental thing. That's a moment right now where she wasn't good enough, but she made a hell of a history in the sport, and that should be admired.
Yeah, like her palmarès speak for themselves. 103 wins. It is crazy. And winning two of the three sort of major stage races this year, La Vuelta and Giro Donna, is impressive. And, you know, she really leads that Movistar team. Yes, like Lippert is there coming up and Norsgaard, but, you know, she drives that team too. And still to be top three, top four rider in the world at 40 years old, turning 41 in October, is crazy. So, yeah, that's life, you know? That's sport. Like, it doesn't wait for you. And the second you're not good enough, you get put in your place very quickly. And that's just how sport is. But I don't know. She also, that might not even be true. Like, frankly, like, she might, as you said, she might be feeling a bit crook. I'm sure she could still ride next year and be one of the top five cyclists in the world probably next year too. I don't see why her aerobic capacity would decrease that much if it hasn't, you know, at 40. But, you know, everything comes to an end. It's been wonderful to see her really, you know, be the figurehead and like the dominant force in women's cycling for what was from like 2017 onwards, for six years or six, seven seasons almost, and winning world championships with 100K solo and also just, you know, taking the training to a new level. Like, you see her training K's. Yep. They do everyone's at the end of the year. She's like the third most, including the men. She like crazy. Does fucked up amount of kilometers. And, you know, the altitude camps in Andorra and training different trains. So, you know, that's all been important for women's cycling. And then there's the next evolution of these like super athletes like Vollering who and go and it progresses, and then in 5 years, 7 years, we'll have the next one. The watts keep going up, and that's life.
Talking about another super talent, Lotte Kopecky, when it comes to this race, getting second in GC, getting the green jersey, getting that stage win initially, lots of like close stages as well where she got close to the victory, but just team didn't close it down or situations occurred where she didn't get into a competitive place. But regardless of that, all this together, that's a hell of an achievement. I think if, let's say, in 2 years, 3 years, Tour de France Femme decides that we're going to expand the race. We're going to make it 10 days. We're going to make it 14 days. We add one or two more mountain stages. Kopecky can't compete for the podium. I think the reason she's up there is because there's a single mountain stage and she got an advantage on different stages. Then again, she probably could have gotten more advantage on other stages if she wasn't on SD Works, but I'm also on the opinion that we shouldn't talk about her not being on SD Works because SD Works makes her more successful both in the classics and in this race as well, I feel like.
It's like the Van Aert discussion. It's like, okay, you can go to You can go to EF, Education Easy Post. You're going to be their big star. You're going to be their worse. The whole classics team is going to be around you. But he would win probably, he might win more stages in stage races, but then come Tour of Flanders or come Gent Wevelgem, for example. I don't know. So, yeah, it's a very similar discussion. I also would say the proportion of stages in this race, which suited Capecchi very particularly, was so high.
Yeah.
It was like six of the stages were not pure sprints, were not mountain.
Yeah.
And so that, and you're right, she could have won, she came stage podium in five of them. She could have won at least three.
Yeah.
So she did miss out on some bonies, but yeah, if you put in another couple of mountain stages, Vollering and even someone like Riolini then, you know, or Nivea Doma takes much bigger margin.
Yeah, I think so as well. We saw Capecchi had a much better climbing though than we saw in previous years. And I'm curious where that will go in the future. Will she consider options in like a 1 week race, for example, where if you see a 1 week race, 4 days, for example, a 4 day stage race where you've got one medium mountain stage, bit of a TT in there, and two hilly sprint stages. I reckon she could try GC there if a Royster and a Vollering are busy doing other things in other races, for example. So I'm curious where that will go. Obviously, her focus will still be trying to win Roubaix. And I think, she could have won Roubaix already if SD Works didn't bottle a bit of the tactics in those races. But when it comes to next year, she's favored again for that race. So I think that's going to be a focus.
Yeah, and it's just clear that her threshold is obviously so high that it's so high that even on climbs of long duration where it's steady state, she is still up there coming sixth on the Tourmalet stage. So whilst, you know, someone like Bauernfein got dropped, although Bauernfein, I think, did do a quick Tourmalet. But yeah, I think it's been a good tour mainly because, and this season's felt very refreshing to me, actually. I know SD Works dominated this race.
Yeah.
Despite all the misgivings and tactics, whatever, and they still just dominated and won full stage. But this season's been quite refreshing to me because Digert's come back. Vollering's changed the top step. Canyon Schramm have brought these young 20-year-olds who are flying. Riolini all of a sudden is like, what the fuck? She's so good. To me, that's really encouraging, and I've really enjoyed that part of the season so far.
I agree with that, but I do feel like for me to be able to be entertained for every single race in the season, that SD Works is winning a bit too much compared to other people. And I can't blame SD Works for investing that much money in the sport.
That is true.
I can't blame those riders for signing for SD Works. I can't blame them for being as good as they are. But for the sport itself, at the moment, it makes the entertainment level in some races where you're like, okay, it's very likely that Capecchi wins with Weber's winning the sprint behind us. We've seen that scenario so many times, and it was predictable almost every single time. And that happens a lot, and that can't be good for the sport. But on the other end, isn't that what drives other teams to invest more and get better as well, which then indirectly increases the sport and makes the five coming years more entertaining or something? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what to say about it, but I feel like this year had very entertaining races, but also not so entertaining races in there.
Yeah, I mean, we probably were denied Charlotte Akul going ahead against Vibers in this race. Like, I wanted to see that probably three times, four times, like in UAE Tour. And you're right. There is a severe concentration of talent in the one team. And, you know, what if they buy Bauernfeind in 25 or Niedermeyer? That's sort of the fear. Or maybe you're right. Maybe the other teams see, holy, look at the audience numbers in this Tour de France Femme avec Zwift. We got to invest more in our women's team because we need to be on that podium. Hopefully that is what will happen.
I'm going to give you a hot take. And I've got this hot take straight from the thought process of my wife that has been telling me this for an entire year. Femke van Empel, 11th in Giro d'Italia this year. Excruciatingly great CX rider. I think she'll grow further and might end up being that generational talent that we need against the Vollering, because she basically top 15 half of the 80% of the Giro d'Italia stages. And if you can do that, and if you can get better, because she's fucking 20 years old, that's a super talent in the making. And she can win the Tour de France Femme in like 5 years, 10 years. That is a bit long.
I don't know how tall she is, but
173.
the what those cyclocross riders, you know, you see them like Blanca Vash. They have so much talent. They're so young and they're already performing in quite competitive fields there. Puck Peters as well, like there's no doubt if she focused on the road, she would be a top yeah. rider. But she's contracted to Phoenix de Koenig till 2027. So good on them. Phoenix de Koenig also seemed to be moving in the right direction. And Rudolph said he wants to make the team. They do the structure of the men's team and they're going to try and improve it. So like good on them. Maybe I think they will continue winning races, whether it's GC or not, I'm not sure. But because if you put Peters or in punchy races, I'm sure she came fifth in Strada this year. I'm sure she can be more than just competitive. But yeah, that's all I have, Benji. Any last thoughts on the race?
No, I think we've said it all. I think it was a good race in general. It wasn't an outstanding race where I'm going to be shouting it off the rooftops every single day now, but it was a good race and it was the changing of the gods that we were waiting for.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. So thanks to Ms. Roos, ASO, all the riders in particular, I can't wait to see them all at the World Championships in a couple of weeks. We'll be doing our preview of the men's. The World Champs scheduling has got me all out of sorts.
Jesus Christ, this year,
we've got World Champs men's road race next Sunday. We've got La Vuelta in 3 weeks, early or late, I don't know. And the World Champs to me is all over the place. Very, very confusing.
I think, I think they put the women's road race a week later than the men's because the Tour de France Femme is so close towards the start of the Glasgow World Champs.
Right. Anyway, we'll do our men's road race preview tomorrow. That should drop tomorrow afternoon or evening. So look out for that. Then I go on holiday on Tuesday. So we've got to get that out of the way because the start lists look mainly confirmed. But yeah, thanks for listening all through this month. And we're not going away just yet until that preview tomorrow. Ciao.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.